Good evening to each of you here with us this evening. It is an honor to have your presence. 6 days ago, I found myself in the middle of a bus depot. I think we may even have a picture of that. But it wasn't like my previous experiences. I've been in a lot of bus stations and ridden hundreds of buses in several cities where I have lived through the years. But this experience was unique. Along with about 36 other people, I was overlooking a bus depot just outside the old city of Jerusalem. And the bus depot of today wasn't the bus depot at its most prominent point 2,000 years ago. Instead, it was a different kind of transportation crossroads. It was full of people and animals and congestion and chaos. But it was more than that. Today's bus depot was a place of encounter back then. Not just the normal encounters that millions of people have in history at transportation stations. Not just the encounter that hundreds of people on that day had back then. Not just the encounters that you would have with people who are in your way, yelling and smelling, just as determined to get where they want to go as you are. The encounter that people had back that day was with several men who weren't going anywhere. Instead, they were dying. They were just a few feet above the ground at a place called Golgotha, the place of the skull, hanging on a cross, dying a gruesome death. We don't know the names of two of them, but the middle one we do. They and he were almost unavoidable at the crossroads of that day. I was there 6 days ago. But I wasn't there 2,000 years ago, and I don't think you were there either. Or were we? Were you there when they crucified this man? Did you see the cross? Did you know the crime? Do you acknowledge this man? Who was he? Who is he to you? The Bible gives us the backstory. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, we learn that the Roman governor named Pilate granted the demands of that yelling crowd, and instead of a murderer, surrendered Jesus to the people. What was their demand? Crucifixion. The crowd wanted Jesus dead, and so the Roman soldiers did so, just as the Jewish crowd demanded. But not just Jesus. Two other men, Luke 23:32 says, both criminals were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the skull, they were crucified with him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. They were there at that place, those criminals, when they crucified that man, Jesus. But they weren't alone. At that transportation intersection, today a bus depot perhaps, were many others. They were there. Oh, they were there. Simon of Cyrene was there. He was unexpectedly there without volunteering. He was made to carry the cross of Jesus. He was drafted into the story. He was bewildered. He was fearful, but he was there. The women were there. Women who had followed Jesus for weeks or months, maybe years. They were there willingly, loyally. But they had a hunch what was coming, and they feared it might happen. That Jesus would be crucified, and that there was no way out. So they mourned and wailed for him, and Jesus heard their audible grief. They were there. The people were there. The masses, the crowds, they all stood watching. Most of them had some place to go that day, until they were stopped in their tracks. They saw something unforgettable. They saw men exposed, humiliated by the authorities, made into a public spectacle. And the message of those crucifying these men was very simple. Be afraid. Be very, very afraid. One of them, the man in the middle, actually had his crime detailed. King of the Jews, it read over him. The people saw that and pondered. They were there. The rulers were there, sneering at these criminals, their mission finally accomplished. These men should have known better. They're finally getting justice, especially the man in the middle. He's a pretender. He's a usurper. He's a renegade. Finally, he's getting his due. Justice is being served, punishment given. They, those rulers, were there. The soldiers were there. Those soldiers were doing Pilate's dirty work. The people wanted it, and the soldiers had the power to carry it out. And in a strange way, it was enjoyable to snuff out the life of a criminal. Save yourself, they mocked him. Because they had Rome behind them. He had no one at his side, they thought. They were there. Yes, and those other two criminals were there, one on each side. Both of them, the scriptures lead us to believe, were fully deserving of their cross. Criminals, after all, they deserved to die. But Jesus, opinion was mixed. One of the criminals thought so. He hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. He was right there. But the other criminal was different. In fact, he took opportunity to rebuke the first. Luke 23:40 says, "Don't you fear God," he said to the other, "since you're under the same sentence? We're punished justly for we're getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, the man in the middle, said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." He was there. They were all there at what is today a bus depot, a congested transportation intersection of that day. They were there when Rome made its statement. They were all there when three men hung on crosses. They were there. Simon was there. The women were there. The crowds were there. The rulers were there. The soldiers were there. The other crucified men were there. They were there. And they responded in all kinds of ways to the man in the middle. You weren't there. I wasn't there. Or were we? Were you there when they crucified this man? Were you there when the religious rulers and the Roman authorities, the soldiers, the Jewish crowds were there? They were there. In fact, they were more than just there. Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, later said to them, "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross." This diverse group who had never worked on anything together before or since came together this one time to do the unthinkable, to murder the Son of God. They were there. But were you there? Or is all that just an isolated, unfortunate incident in ancient history? Can I answer? You were there. We were there as an extension of the first man, Adam. Wanting to live without God looking over our shoulder, wanting to live without God telling us what to do. The Bible says plainly, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We were there, all of us. We missed the mark. Not just make mistakes or have failures or experience miscues. We were there, sinners, putting Jesus on the cross. The songwriter asked the questions. The truth gives the answer. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And we are there, every last one of us, observing, deciding, responding. How will we respond to the man on the cross? How will we respond to Jesus? What do you do at the place of the cross, this noisy, crowded, chaotic, congested, disorienting place, full of people, a crossroads perhaps, confusing, where you might feel all alone? But we respond. How do you respond? What are you going to do at the cross? What are you going to do with the man there? Are you going to pass by? Are you going to mock him? Are you going to feel bad for him? Are you going to kneel in front of him? The Bible tells us that the man in the middle wasn't a common criminal. In fact, he wasn't a criminal at all. He wasn't there by accident or even by justice. He was there because of the sin-soaked humanity that we are. Your sin, my sin. But he was also there in the perfect plan of God. God meant him to be there. The Bible says God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Righteous Jesus in our place. Righteous Jesus for our sins. Righteous Jesus as our light. The song says, at the cross, when I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. What do you do at Calvary? What does Calvary do for you? Can you say mercy there was great and grace was free? There his grace was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Today is April 15th, tax day. I hope I'm not surprising any of you. It's the day that we confirm each year that all is paid up that is due. It's debt service day. We do it every year, and it never ends. Tax day only postpones. It never fully satisfies because we always renew our debt for the next year. But on this day, on Good Friday, the message of our spiritual debt is different. It was paid once for all at Calvary. It was paid by the man in the middle, Jesus. Our sin fully paid for before a holy God. Not just this year, but past and present and future by Jesus. Final payment offered in your place by Jesus. And it's waiting. Offered for your acceptance. Nothing more due. Paid once for all. Have you accepted that payment? Have you repented of your sin and the dead-end way that that kind of life is? Have you turned and trusted Jesus, what he did for you and for me? He paid it in full, permanently, at Calvary. Saved by grace. And those who have lived the only kind of life that makes any sense, no longer paying off the debt, but giving an offering, a life of thanks Your debt's been paid in full. The message on Good Friday is take it. We were there. So was he. And on that Good Friday, he hung there so that all of humanity, you and I included, would not have to die there or stay there. He paid the debt that he did not owe. I owed the debt that I could not pay. It was Good Friday indeed for sinners like us. Let's pray. God, we're grateful that what has happened in history was no accident and has ongoing effects to each and every man and woman, boy and girl, here and around the world, who receives the payment of Jesus and the opportunity to know God. Thank you that Friday is so good because of Jesus. Amen.